Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair, a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'Well, we have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
You
may be seated. We have our Christmas lights on our house and have begun planning our Christmas gift shopping, though not actually shopping for anything yet. But I play my favorite Christmas music in the car. Pickled herring is traditional holiday fare for me, and I have some in the fridge right now. Preparations for Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa are now underway, and getting ready for the holiday is all around us. We get ready for the holiday. But how do we get ready for Jesus? Holiday traditions are in full swing, but how do we get ready for Jesus? We do not know what the future brings. We can make plans and outline process and schedule tasks and create contingencies, but no one knows what tomorrow will bring. God's Holy Spirit is moving in this world in surprising ways, but no one knows where God will take us or what God will boldly ask of us in this coming year. This world is cataclysmically shifted these last couple of years. COVID has disrupted routines and traditions. Businesses have not fully recovered. Families have suffered. Church life will never be the same. No one knows how we shall emerge from the shifts of this last year. No one has a plan for how to return for what is familiar. And no one knows what disaster or challenge looms in the coming year. The best we can do is to prepare for whatever may come. The best we can do is be ready. John the Baptizer cried out to his world of corruption and danger, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight and clear. Be focused." Be prepared is the scout motto I learned in my youth. A Boy Scout prepares for whatever may come by being physically fit, learning skills to manage any circumstance, learning how to handle emergencies, mentally preparing for uncertainty, contributing to the betterment of others because we are part of a larger community, partners in ministry beyond our small church, and then practicing until confident. Be prepared for whatever may come. Preparing for Jesus also is being ready for any circumstance. Being spiritually fit by understanding our baptism and God's claim on us and God's expectations of us. recognizing our personal need for God, recognizing that everything we have is a gift of God, recognizing that our gifts are meant to be shared with others, responding to the needs of those around, insisting on justice in our system of laws and policies, contributing to the success of this church, being the kind of people that reveals Jesus in us, understanding what God's mercy and love extends even to those we would rather avoid. And then practice, practice, practice. Matthew and the other Gospels include this description of John the Baptist and their story about the salvation of Jesus. John the Baptist sets the stage for Jesus appearing. First, the fact that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, is grounded in the prophets, in particular Isaiah. All of the Old Testament has led up to this point, to this person, Jesus. All of the Old Testament now comes to conclusion in Jesus. And Matthew quotes the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You know, the wilderness is an ambivalent place, a place of both risk and of renewal. The wilderness is a place of both loss of familiar ways and of a new life. The wilderness is a place distant from the support of families and neighbors, and a place where God is near to sustain and protect. The wilderness is a place on the edge of civilization and a place at the center of God's kingdom coming. After all the centuries of Israel's waiting and hoping and desperate prayer, the gospel writer declares the messenger has finally come, the herald riding ahead, announcing the arrival of the Lord. And John's words announce to us listeners also, announcing the Lord's arrival to us at Christ the King Lutheran Church. You know, we are in an ambivalent place. We are at risk if we make changes, and at risk if we don't. Familiar and favorite ways of being church no longer work. We are in a wilderness of uncertainty for our future. But there is a voice crying in the wilderness. That voice is calling for us to change familiar ways, to repent of being church differently, and to look to God leading us to new imagination. The voice calls us for us to prepare for a new thing, to prepare for a new church and a new ministry. John is the last of the Old Testament prophets declaring the coming Messiah. Verse 4 is stage notes for a theatrical production. They indicate the costuming and character of this player. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He did not dress in the fine woven cotton robes worn in the city. City clothes come from domesticated crops, and they require civilization and economic cooperation. John wore what is found in the wilderness, skins and hair taken from animals. With this description of the gospel writer suggests that John the Baptizer is the prophet Elijah returned. In 1 Kings, the first chapter, Elijah is described as wearing a garment of hair cloth with a belt of leather. For centuries, the people of Israel believed that the Messiah would be preceded by Elijah returning. And so this gospel claims that John is the prophet Elijah returned. The food he ate was what he foraged in the wild, not food derived from cultivation and seasonal planting. John's food came from what God provided as it was needed. Locusts are among the foods declared by the Lord to be clean. When crops fail and food is scarce. The Lord provides this food for which the people do not work. Wild honey comes from undomesticated bees that make their hives in protected places. John eats food that is not cultivated in civilization, but relies only on what God provides in the moment. He depends on no other but only God. John is the long-awaited prophet who ushers in the righteous kingdom of God. And God will provide what Christ the King needs in the moment. John the Baptist calls us to see what God is providing when our ideas and plans are short. Yet the wild food is strange to us. God gives us opportunity, but it is strange to our way of doing things. What we are given to survive as a church is not like anything we know. It is strange, and it is different. It may be even difficult to swallow. But it is from God, and it is for us. John the Baptizer used water in symbolic repentance. People came to John in personal commitment to change, and baptism was the symbol of their commitment. Yet one more powerful baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Baptize is a word meaning to dip, like dipping cookies in a coffee. Jesus dips you in God's Holy Spirit, infusing you sweet people with the flavor of God, overcoming you and changing you and blessing you until we are caught up in the salvation story that has now begun. The Holy Spirit is the very power of God that has overwhelmed you and is moving in you for good, making you holy and right. Baptism is the Holy Spirit of God changing you and taking charge, and God bringing you into a new future. God is making Christ the King into a new church. I conclude my ministry with you. It has been a wonderful adventure this past year. I have been truly blessed to have come to know you and to have shared life and laughs with you. My plan now, God willing, is to experiment with retirement. I don't know exactly what that means, but I sure don't know what God has intended either. But one preparation I have made, one way I've prepared for this coming year, is carrying with me the blessed affection that you have shown me and the many good memories that we have shared. So, thank you.